Okay, so real quick, I want to share a message on the importance of focus again, and then we'll just open it up and we'll take you guys' questions and go through whatever you guys need help with. So, all right, so one of the things that I want to just share again on is the power of focus, and this cannot be emphasized enough. So whatever you're working on, if you have a goal, something, and go ahead and mute your guys' selves because you got some noise in the background. So if you can just mute yourself, that'd be great. So as you're focused on your goal, number one, you need to have it ingrained in what you're gonna do, like day to day, week to week. And it's gotta be focused with you. It's got to be focused with your partner, your business partner. It's got to be focused with your higher power. It's got to be focused with every cell in your body. The problem with most people, if you go into a goal and some part of you feels like it's not going to work, you resist it, you're maybe afraid of it, or you think, oh, it'll maybe work, but it'll probably fail, and you let the past dictate it, you're not truly focused. That is not focused. That is focused on the wrong thing because part of you is focused on the opposite of something that is not serving you. So when I'm talking about focused, I want you to tune in not just to your mental focus, but your emotional focus as well. And every feeling, every thought, every fiber inside of you focused. So let's say you have a goal, right? And maybe your goal is to make $10,000 in a week or a month or whatever your goal is, right? So if that's your focus, if you have a specific money goal, number one, here's a way to really, and you, maybe you don't have any, no, you have no idea how, right? Let's say I just wanted to take a goal and say, hey, this is a goal I have no idea how to achieve, but I want to achieve it. Then this is kind of the process that I would do. First off, I would visualize. I would start with a visualization, and I would see myself making that $20,000 or the $10,000, and I would try to feel what it's like to receive it if it's never happened before, right? Because if you have never had something happen, you have to be able to see it. You have to be able to feel it. Otherwise, there's a fear of the unknown, and that fear of the unknown resists what you want. So you have to be able to see something even though you've never experienced before. And that's called faith, guys. So it's not like, oh, how do I do that? It's called just do it. You just practice it. It's a routine. It's discipline. And so as you look and see what you want and then feel and embrace it, the next piece is, as you can do that consistently, you got to get to where you feel excited about it without any resistance. So if you're ever visualizing and you're like, oh man, this sucks. You've tried or you had your you thought you knew how and then it failed, and you thought you knew how again and it failed. Those are the tests of time. And the test of time is, can you do something and it not turn out how you want, yet you still feel aligned and in tune and excited? And then you do it again and again until it happens. As you continue that process, if you wanted to learn how, this is one of the most effective ways I've found how. And I know everybody's from different religious backgrounds, so whatever your belief system is, you do it according to what you believe. This is just kind of how I do it. And whether you're atheist or Christian or whether you believe in a God, whatever it might be, then this is kind of the process that I do. So I love taking a goal and thinking about it at night and then asking in a journal, how do I do this? Like, what is the fastest, most effective way to do to make $10,000 a month? Or right now I'm working on getting 10 people to sign up at my CAT program every week, and then to find 6 more people to be part of my certification. So those are my big goals over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And so as I'm working on those at night, as I visualize it and see it and make sure there's no resistance, then I'm going to ask and say, okay, like, how do I get 10 people to sign up for my Ultimate Alignment Package? How do I do it? And then I write it and I pray about it, and then I write down answers, people that come to my mind, methodologies, and then I act on them. Okay, so this, and then you do it again and again and again and again. Some of the ideas you get might not actually work, but it'll get you into a place where you're aligned and you're willing and ready to do whatever it takes. So there have been times where I've literally done this process and it's been like, call so-and-so. I'm like, they have nothing to do with anything that I'm doing, but I'm like, okay. And then I call them and I'm like, I just felt impressed to call you, wanted to connect, and I felt super awkward. And then all of a sudden, literally after doing that, I had success. So I was like, okay, well, I don't care how, but I'm just going to do whatever it takes. And I'm going to be open to moving. And other times it was sign up for this program. Okay. Or ask for help from a coach, or Google this thing, or do this. And you've got to become a problem solver and know. It's like if you see a problem in front of you, most people have been trained in their life to run away from the problem. But as an entrepreneur, you are the sole, it's your sole responsibility to take that problem and to create something that you can do with it. So you got to confront it instead of run from it. And I think that's one of the biggest things that if I was going to say, hey, an attribute to start to take on, is become a problem solver. Just innately choose to see anything that's off, anything that doesn't work, anything that isn't happening how you want it, to say, what do I need to do to make this work for me, to work for my good? And then to do that and maintain a place of peace, of excitement, and not drop it. The test always comes after a letdown. So if you have an ideal and it doesn't happen, the test is never during the time that you're performing or speaking or in the sale. The test is always before and after. That is the true sign of alignment and being on, you know, a skill set. So if you're coaching somebody, and let's say you have 5 people that you're coaching in a day, and you're like, okay, but if you're so tied to them signing up and you're like, oh, I need them to sign up to pay this or to feel good enough about myself to finally get my goal, and you're tied to them, you need them. You have, in sales, you have to help them want you more than you want them. Like, you don't want them at all. You don't even need them. You don't need them for your validation. You don't need them for money. You don't need them for anything. They need you more than you need them. And if it feels the opposite, they won't sign up. If you feel like the needy person, they won't sign up. Neediness has a very powerful feeling, and people can sense it, whether or not it's communicated verbally. They sense it physically. They sense it in your voice. They sense it in your confidence. So one of the arts of a goal achieving is not being in need of it, not being tied to it. And not being tied to it means whether it fails or whether it succeeds, you still feel amazing. It doesn't drop your energy, doesn't drop your mood. It doesn't phase you at all. You are so focused, aligned with that thing, that it's like, cool, didn't happen. All right, gonna happen soon. And then you keep going for it and going for it and going for it. I think Leslie Householder once shared an analogy of like sending it's like putting an order on Amazon. Like, you put in your order, which is like, okay, this is what I want. I want to have this much money. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to be able to go speak on these stages. I want to create this big of an impact. I want to sell this much. And once you put in your order on Amazon, do you worry about it? Do you like sit and fret? Do you like hope, oh no, I hope it's going to come? Like, if you've already paid, does anybody on here actually like fret and worry on it about it? If you do, that's stupid, right? Like, who would do that? But if you just are like, hey, the order's in, I know it's going to come in like 2 days. And let's say that's how it is. So if you're like, okay, I want this thing to happen. Let's say 2 days doesn't happen. Then, well, what are you going to do? Maybe you're going to take more action. You're going to be like, okay, something's up with my order. And you're going to do stuff to make it happen even faster. And you're going to figure it out. It's like having a baby. And it's like, okay, if your due date's January 1st, and you're all excited, and then the baby doesn't come out January 1st, and you just give up. Oh, man, I guess I'm not going to have a baby. Maybe it wasn't God's will. Maybe I'm in the wrong career. Gosh. And we just have all these lame excuses. That's so dumb. Yet we do it all the time. But if you're going to have a baby and it's like January 1st, you actually get more excited. You're like, oh, didn't come this day. Holy cow. And your excitement goes up, not down. Your anticipation goes up. Your alignment goes up. Everything goes up. And you expect it. You expect it. You have to expect success. If you expect failure and struggle and things to be hard, you're probably right. But if you expect things to be exciting, fun, empowering, enlightening, encouraging, easy, simple, a journey, that everything you go through is a lesson that you can embrace and then go share with others and then go make money, then you're right. So what you expect is what you get. So expect greatness. Okay? So I just want to share this because as I look and coach, yes, we're going to get into the details. Yes, we're going to go through how to package. Yes, how to communicate. Yes, how to go find clients. Yes, how to market online, how to do offline, how to present, how to speak. Those are skill sets. But if you don't have the right mindset, you just have a skill set that is not going to be implemented. So I'm sharing this over and over, week to week, because I want you to get this ingrained, how important this is. That if you don't believe it, if you don't align to it, if you're not like 100% on board with the thing and you keep resisting it, you're not going to do the skills. And you're going to do the skills as a checkbox instead of as, oh, I'm going to go create with this skill. And you're going to go do it. Like when I was able to create my first $250,000 in 3 days, that did not happen by circumstance. That was not just a whim. I had that on a vision board. I focused on it. I aligned to it. I really like thought about it and imagined it and dreamed it. And in the event, I maintained the energy regardless. And even up to the very offer, I didn't know how it was going to happen. And it happened. The next event, I had another similar experience where I was like visualizing and I was like, man, I really want to get a high tier program for 65K sold. And as I was seeing it and visualizing it, I just acted as if. And nobody in the room was qualified in my mind. I was like, there's no way nobody's going to purchase this. But I was like, I don't care. I'm not going to let my doubts dictate my future or my past or whatever. And I'm not going to force my limitations on these people. Like, how selfish of me. So I visioned and I saw them with greatness. And an hour before I made the offer, a random person showed up and ended up buying my $65,000 program. And it was an invite from a friend. That wouldn't have happened if I didn't maintain the visualization, maintain the feeling that this is how it works. Like, there is no other option. And too many of us see what's real in our minds, what we've seen in the past, and we let that dictate. And we say, oh, it can't happen. Oh, but Tyler, it's impossible. There's no one here who has the money. Oh, Tyler, it's impossible. I'm doing this thing. Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, can't is a very strong word. And if you can't do it, you're absolutely right. So you deserve to not do it. Congratulations, you created the ability not to do something. However, if you believe, yes, I can do this, I'm going to work through it, I expect it. You expect it. If you put in the order, expect the result. even if the circumstance is like, wow, I have no idea how this is going to happen, but it's going to happen. And the excitement goes up because you're actually excited to see a new opportunity, a new way. You're like, whoa, cool. Nobody in the room's qualified. This is epic. I wonder how it's going to work. And instead of dropping your faith, you increase it. Instead of dropping the expectation, you increase it. You get more excited. You teach with more passion. And you over-deliver so that people can do what you want to create. And they get what they've been looking for. And everybody starts to just create this amazing shift. Okay, so that's what I want to share today. Is it sinking in? Can you see yourself visualizing and experiencing this? Can you focus on something? Can you embrace? Can you go through the necessary steps to ask and figure out the how? Can you go and seek every single day to make it happen, to expect it to happen? And if so, great, let's focus on some skills. But if not, do whatever it takes inside of you, whether you align, whether you go yell at yourself, whether you go tap it out, whether you pray intensely, I don't care how you do it. Just go get yourself into a space where you can start to see success and train yourself. Use your time to train yourself for success. If you're vegging out or if you're opting out through negative thoughts, that is a choice. So choose where you're going to focus your energy and thoughts and emotions. We have that ability. We have that choice. Cool. All right. I just want to hear a couple feedbacks real quick. Then I'm going to open this up for questions. What are you going to do because of what I have said? What resonates? What are you going to do differently? And then we're going to open it up for a Q&A. Okay. But I first want to hear a couple feedbacks of what are you getting out of this? What are you going to do differently? And then we'll go and open and take people's personal stuff.
I think for me, Todd, this is Yana. For hey, me, after my last weekend, I did make my goal and a little
boom.
Bit more. Yeah, boom, right on. And I'm going to make my goal and this weekend as well. And the cash that I was paid in addition to selling my product was very minimal for a lot of work, and I was really disappointed. So immediately I'm going to focus that negativity and that feeling of disappointment and adjust that expectation to gratefulness, from disappointment to gratefulness. I started with
awesome.
$10,000 goal, and I sort of got ramped up and went for a $25,000 goal. I made more than 10,000, but not 25. So I was thinking that the cash I would make up for that, and it was pennies. It was just pennies on the cash. So I set myself up for that. I see that. I'm going to realign that, and I'm going to carry into the next week no expectation for the cash advance at the end of my conference, and be grateful.
There you go. Yeah, that's how you do it. Way to go. I love hearing that. Hey, congrats, by the way, on your first big win.
Yeah,
awesome
thank
job.
You. Awesome. It worked. And
yeah,
you know, Carla, at the bottom of my page, when you were teaching, I have this. If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Boom.
This book is
that's
I'm making
awesome.
Yeah.
Way to go. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Who else?
Tyler, this is Lark, and I'll share about my speaking this last weekend. I totally nailed the speech. You would have been really proud of me. Did the offer, did everything. It was great. Did not sell one thing, even though I had a couple people who expressed interest in saying, okay, yes, but they never followed through with the money. Now, here, there were a couple things with the event that were different from, you know, my expectation or what I had been led to believe. For example, only half the people were there, as opposed, you know what I mean, versus what had been promised. And then no one else made a money offer from stage, which was weird. So I was the only one, which, and even the event organizer, she presented something, but she didn't give money, ask for money. She just said, hey, let's talk about it later. So I felt like I had kind of been misled about how things would go from stage. So that felt strange. However, and I will say I was disappointed because I had felt I had aligned with a money goal. I had, you know, my body felt like, hey, yes, I absolutely can do this. However, I made some phenomenal contacts. I have a great lead list that people expressed interest in something that I was offering there for free, kind of to get them in the funnel. And I believe that by getting them in the funnel and progressing that through, that I will get sales from that. Also, I made a huge contact with a big influencer. And so I am hopeful that this can actually prove that it will give me an ROI that I'm looking for. So that's where I'm at.
That's awesome. Hey, congrats. Way to go. Thanks. Nailing the speech. And yeah, next step is just keep the door open to say, cool, it didn't happen how I expected. Then how is it going to work? And then make it happen.
Okay.
That's awesome. Cool. Who else? What are you getting out of this? What are you going to do?
Tyler, can you hear me?
Yep.
So I have so many goals right now, but one of them is to, you just made me think about selling my practice. And I have a prospect who's from Temecula, California, that is interested in both the practice and my building, which would be ideal. And so Sally and I talked this week about somebody had suggested this to us, actually, do we have a goal for that, the time frame for that happening specifically? And so we said, we're set the goal of by the end of the year, having the under contract. And then by March, the end of March, 2020, which would be 20 years of my practice, to have it actually transitioned and ownership transferred over and I'm done. So that's, I want to align with that goal as much as possible. So I'll use this focus and visualization that you've talked about.
Nice. Way to go. Cool. Anybody else on that wants to share real quick what you're getting out of this, what you're going to do differently? Okay. So I want to share real quick one more story and then we're going to take it. I just really feel like I need to share this. So over the weekend, I was able to go visit my sister in Kansas. She's from Arkansas. We went to in my religion, we go to a place called a temple, and we do all sorts of cool ordinances. It's super fun. And what happened was my sister's going to go on a church mission, and she doesn't have a whole lot of support, so I flew down, and I was like there with her, and it was awesome. We had a great time. So on the way back, as we're flying back, my wife and I were like watching these videos on faith and like inspiration and tapping into things, and like doing miracles. And man, deep down inside of me, I was just like, oh, I want to be more active in doing good. I want to feel like I'm on key, and I feel like I'm like doing something important with my life. And this happens to me all the time. And so I'm just like, wow, I just want to feel like I'm like doing miracles, helping people, and like really changing lives and knowing that I'm like being used, you know? And that's just one of my innate things that I love, to feel spiritually connected and spiritually in tune. It's one of my desires. So as I was thinking about that, we were flying home on Sunday night, and we were really excited to get home because this is the longest we've been away from our girls. It was like from Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday. And our girls were just like really wanting us back home. So we're like, okay. And we're visualizing and praying and dousing that everything will work out. And because we've had delays in our flights. And so we're like, okay, let's just make everything happen so that we can just have what we want. So I do all these visualizations, do everything, and we land. And as we land, there's no place for the plane to go. Like, all the terminals are taken up. So our connecting flight is in an hour. So we're like, okay, like, there's still time. So I think and I visualize and I just had this really spiritual experience. And I'm like, okay, great. Everything's going to work out exactly how we want it, how it needs to be. And 30 minutes go by. We are just sitting there. We're like, okay, like, we're getting kind of close to the expectation here. Our next flight is fixing to leave. And then we're looking it up. We're like, oh, great. The one flight that doesn't get delayed is the one that we need to get on right now. And so we're like, all right, so let's just keep holding that expectation, that faith. Everything's going to work out. 45 minutes go by. We haven't moved. We're like, oh, man, like, oh, my goodness. We got to get on this plane, and we want to get home. It was like 10 o'clock at night. Like, we gotta get home. An hour goes by. Our flight doors are closing in 3 minutes. And we're like, oh, my goodness, we are not going to make it. And we're just thinking, okay, well, hold the expectation. Everything's going to work out as good as it will, whether we hit it or not. Whatever happens is going to happen, and it's going to be amazing. So we're holding that expectation, and literally, like, 5 minutes later, they're like, all right, we're going to pull in. And they pull in. We sprint out, and we go to the door. The plane is still there, but the door is closed. And we're like, oh. We missed it. Like, there's no way they'll let us in. We're out of here. They're already all on the plane. So we're really bummed. We're like, okay. But, you know, trying to keep the hope, trying to keep the faith. And just, all right. So we'll make it. We'll see our girls. Everything will work out. So we go to the other counter. They say, well, the best we can do is there's a flight tomorrow morning at 7. It's leaving. We'll get you a hotel, some food, here you go. So we're like, okay, well, everything didn't work as we thought we would, but we still felt really peaceful. We held the expectation everything's going to work out for our good. So on the plane, we're flying back 7 a.m. yesterday, and about halfway up, I'm sitting 2 seats back, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, there's some commotion up 2 seats from me. And the hostess yells, does anybody have any medical or a nurse background or anything? Is there a doctor or a nurse or any medical background? And the plane is 3 seats on one side, 3 seats on the other, and it goes back. It's a big plane, and it's full. No one has any medical background. And I'm looking around, and the guy, he's like literally passed out, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I have tons of history with medical stuff, just not the traditional. And so I stand up and I move up there and I'm like, look, I'm not licensed in anything, but this is what I do. I help people, like, I can help him. And he's like barely functional, and I just do some analysis, and it looks like he's having like a low blood pressure or low blood sugar, like he's going into a diabetic coma. So I'm like, okay, poor dude, he's like four in his 40s, and his son's 10 years old, freaking out. This has never happened. And he's like crying and really scared. And so I step in and just do my magic for the next 45 minutes. We get him some orange juice and like hitting all these pressure points and hitting everything we can do. And just to revive the guy, I put him on oxygen, and he's like coming to. And by the time we land, he's like communicating and on his phone, and he's like, okay, like, I feel better than this whole flight. So they get the EMTs up and take care of him and take him off. And I'm thinking, as I get back to my wife, I'm like, wow, that was weird. Like, just, you know, how lucky it was that I was here. And then I thought, and I looked back on all the things that had happened up to that point, that everything happened specifically for a specific reason. Because I was willing, I was okay with it not happening how I wanted it to. And I maintained the visualization of things will work out for my good. So in my mind, my good was, hey, we get home and see our girls. Higher power had a different thought. He's like, hey, actually, there's a guy who's probably going to go through a diabetic coma, and no one on the plane has any medical background, so I need you to be on that plane. So he put me on that plane. And I believe that as we think something and you hold the intention that everything's going to work out for your good, it will. And if you allow the disappointment to come, you'll miss out on the opportunity that might be different than what you intended because you couldn't see it. You were so clouded by disappointment, by failure, by lack of gratitude. So the key is not before or after, it's not during the experience, but it's before the experience and after the experience. Can you maintain that integrity and continue on the path of what you're meant to do? So I thought that was a really cool experience and just really kind of opened my eyes to a bigger picture. So hopefully that helps give some extra perspective that things don't always turn out like you expect them to, but it's how you feel and think about the letdowns that allows you to then open up the next door and go serve and go do what you're meant to do for the next piece. Cool? All right. So hopefully that helps. Hopefully, yeah. Oh, thanks. Thank you. So with that, let's open up the call for some questions here. What do you guys need help with?
So I could use help with my blueprint.
Okay, let's do it, Andy. All right, so I've got your blueprint here. You emailed it to me. So with this blueprint, what's the main thing that you want some help with?
Well, I don't know what to put down for the tools. I've come up with lots of different names of things. I've begun to question whether I can help people with all those things that I've listed, from allergies and I wanted to see. Let's see. I want to see if I can share it on the screen. I don't know if I can share on the screen. It says share.
I'm not on the screen, so I'm actually just on my phone looking at the email. But I can see it, so I'm.
So you'll see on the tools delivery method process. I'm just totally lost with what I should call the tools. In fact, I don't even know if the steps and the tools should be.
Let's go through this real quick, just so. And no matter how many times you guys have gone through a blueprint, it's better. You cannot do it too many times. So the whole point of a blueprint is to get solid on your message and how to deliver the message, how to communicate the message out of a value. Okay. So the point of this is, can you communicate your message in a way that people say, I need that? That's the whole point of the blueprint. It also gives you a solid foundation for your future programs. It gives you the ideas and the clarity of what you can do for people and how valuable your system is, okay? So let's look through some of these steps first. So it's becoming intentional, limitless health, new beginnings, overcoming addictions, allergic to everything, depression to expansion, ageless clarity, know thyself. Okay. So first off, just in the steps, one thing that pops up is the allergic to everything. So all your other steps are like descriptions of what you're creating. So it's like limitless health, new beginnings, overcoming addictions. So allergic to everything is more of a description of the problem. So instead of having that be the step, then I would say align, right? So it's like limitless health, new beginnings, overcoming addiction, align to your desire, or align yourself. Depression to, and then in, you could say, yeah, depression to expansion, or say expand within, or expand without, you know. Ageless clarity, know thyself, those all sound good as steps. The step should be something like this. So if I'm describing something, like let's go through your first step. If I'm talking to Joe, Joe is sitting down for an enrollment conversation, or I'm speaking from stage, or I'm doing this from online class, whatever it is, let's just take it as a one-on-one. He wants what I want. He's looking for an exploratory session. So we're going to go through this. And he's like, okay, so Joe, step number one is called becoming intentional. The problem is, and then you're going to talk about the problem that is associated. So you have the problem is hopelessness, helplessness, failure, lack of control, vulnerable, loss, brain fog, fatigue, overweight, chronic pain, headache, tired of being sick and tired. Okay. Oh, wait. Oh, I see. So that goes into the other one. So becoming intentional, which is hopelessness, helplessness, failure, and lack of control, vulnerable, and lost. Right?
Right.
Okay. So in that, I should be able to say, yeah, the problem then is, so the first step is becoming intentional. And the problem is, as you're going through your goals or life, you feel hopeless. You feel helpless. You let failure hold you back. You have a lack of control. I would ask, what would vulnerable be? Because not too many people say, man, my problem is I feel really vulnerable.
Okay.
You want to use the words that your clients are using. So if they're like, wow, I feel really helpless. I feel hopeless. I feel like I'm a failure. I feel like there's a lack of control. I feel lost. If they say that's what they feel or experience, then those are good words to use. If you say that's what they feel, what they don't actually resonate with, then it's not actually the problem. So you want to key into what your clients are saying. Okay? So become intentional. Oh, the big problem is hopelessness and helplessness is keeping you stuck. You're allowing failure to hold you back. Past failures hold you back from your future. You feel like there's no control and you feel lost trying to achieve your goals. Like that's the kind of bullet points that I would have on that. So the solution is thoughts become things. What you think about, you bring about. So that's more of a description and a philosophical way of thinking. So you don't want to teach in that. You're in the solution, you're just describing a solution. So it's like, okay, thoughts become things. That's teaching somebody. Like, okay, great. What does that mean? So what you think about, you bring about. Okay, great. But what's the actual solution?
So it'd be
what's the solution?
Manifesting your a brighter future, or manifesting what you want.
Yeah, and how would they manifest what they want? Like, how would they actually solve getting out of hopelessness, helplessness, failure, lack of control, and feeling lost?
Through by setting intentions and inspired intentions.
Great. So the solution could be intentionally choose your life. That could be one of the solutions, right? What could another solution be?
Let's see. I'm just writing this down. So intentionally choose your life is a solution.
What's another solution? If somebody's hopeless, helpless, they're allowing the failure to dictate their future. They don't feel in control and they feel lost.
Find out what you want. Find out.
Great. So another solution is have crystal clarity on what you want, or know exactly what you want and why you want it. Right? Now let's go to the benefits. So the benefits are experience the unimaginable as problems wash away before your eyes. Okay. So the key about this, Andy, is in the benefits, you just want some bullet point benefits. as you're describing it, you could say that. You could be like, oh yeah, so one of the benefits is you intentionally choose to live your life. You're going to experience the unimaginable as problems wash away before your eyes. You could do that if you're like speaking to somebody, but as a blueprint, it sounds a little like, okay, like cool, like what does that mean? So just get really specific and simplify it. So it's like, okay, what's the benefit? If someone has their problems wash away, so you could just say, problems vanish. Like, your problems vanish. That's a benefit. What's another problem? What's another benefit? They're going to feel motivated because they have clarity, right? They have direction. So improved motivation. What's another benefit? As they are intentionally living, they're going to be able to create what you want or achieve your goals 3 times faster. Feel empowered. Feel in control, right? Those are benefits. Now the tool, you have cellular frequency alignment, trauma gone, align your divine potential. So let's talk about that. So what are you actually going to do to help these people gain crystal clarity on where they're going and what they need to do?
Well, the tools that we have are CAT, and I've done emotion code and body code. And
great. But what are you going to do to help them gain clarity on what they want so they know where they're going and why they want it? How would you do that? Let's say I'm sitting down with you and you're like, Tyler, how would you help me figure out what I want and where I'm going to go?
I can start out with your process of redefining definitions.
So you're just going to be like, okay, cool. We're going to redefine definitions here. Like, if you were sitting down with me and you wanted to help me figure out what I want and why I want it, what would you do? What would you ask me?
I would say, what do you want to be? What do you want to have? What do you want to do? And I would ask over and over, just like you do, I guess.
Cool. So if you had to give that process a name, what would you call it?
See, that's my problem, is coming up with a name.
Oh, great. Well, here's a name. The clarity process, or vision precision tool.
Okay.
Vision super simple, right? And maybe it's a process that you spend 10 to 20 minutes with the person just figuring out what the heck they actually want. And if they did get that, where would they go? Right? That'd be a really powerful thing to do.
I like visioning with precision. But you want to have
So the visioning with precision process.
Process.
So the tools you want to label usually as like a tool, a process, a system, a code, a technique, more left-brained words, more analytical words that will sum it up, that gives it a meaning. The reason you want to do that is psychologically, when you're teaching somebody, how this is set up is, okay, step one. So the first thing we're going to do is, it's called become intentional, okay? Or becoming intentional. The problem is that you've allowed hopelessness and helplessness to keep you stuck. You've allowed the failures of the past to dictate your future. You feel like there's no control and you feel lost with your goals. Solution is, we're going to get you crystal clear on exactly what you want and create a path of how to get there. We're also going to help you intentionally choose your life. The benefit is you're going to feel in control. You're going to achieve your goals 3 times faster. You're going to feel empowered and motivated in your life. And then now they're going to ask in their mind, this all sounds great, but how the heck are you going to do this? Right? So as I'm going through this, it should sound very logical as I'm just, I could just teach this stuff. Like, step, problem, solution, benefit. I could turn this into an offer. I could turn this into a book. I could turn this into a, and there's so many ways. But as you communicate this in selling, this is how you communicate it. And it's all tied to the person. So you're asking the questions, but these points come out in the enrollment conversation. So as I'm going through and then I'm like, okay, cool. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to do it using the cellular frequency alignment, the clarity, what do we call it? What was the vision process?
Visioning with precision process.
The visioning with precision process and the align your divine potential system. The trauma gone, I wouldn't, that sounds like a dumb tool. I wouldn't call it that.
Thank you. See, that's what I need is somebody tell me that's a dumb tool. I like that.
Yeah, it just sounds really dumb. So I would change that. Okay. So think about how I said it and like with that kind of energy and with that kind of precision. Now people are like, dude, this guy is an expert. He knows what he's talking about. I want to pay you a lot of money.
I get what you're saying, and I love going through that with you. I just, when I'm left to my own, I think, okay, now
totally.
What did you
do? That's why we've got this. So let's go through a couple more so you can get this, and then I want you to redo all this, and then we'll touch back, okay?
Okay.
So step two. So then, okay, step one's becoming intentional. Step two, limitless health. The problem is brain fog and fatigue keeps you stuck or keeps you from connecting to your loved ones or your business. You feel overweight, chronic pain and headaches, tired of being sick and tired. Okay? The solution is discover root causes and imbalances, implement a strategic individualized lifestyle plan. Good. And you don't even need unique to me. So it's like, okay, so discover root causes and imbalances and implement a strategic individual lifestyle plan. Perfect. Benefit, boundless energy, happy with weight, feeling younger and sexier, subtle skin, new wardrobe, playing with grandkids, new lease on life. Okay, so the benefits, you're going to have boundless energy, you're going to feel good about the weight you have, you're going to feel younger and sexier. You're going to have subtle skin, new wardrobe. What does that mean? Like that's a benefit.
Okay.
What is that? Like describe that to me when you mean new wardrobe.
Oh, I thought it was pretty self-explanatory. because
so I'm going to like go through this and I'm just going to like get some new clothes or something or what?
Yeah. You're going to fit into slimmer clothes. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're going to fit your old clothes or fit new clothes?
Yeah.
Andy, that might not be a benefit for those who can't afford a new wardrobe. Just saying.
Yeah, for me, that was like when I saw a new wardrobe, that meant, oh, so we're actually going to go and like buy some clothes together or something? I was like, that confused me.
Okay.
So I would just get rid of that.
Okay.
Because it implies with like, if you're happy with your weight, it's going to like people, yeah, and maybe women are, this is where women might need to chime in before me, but in my mind, they're not looking forward, I'm just going to not go there. Okay, so, because I could totally be wrong. So, sexier, subtle skin, so playing with grandkids, new lease on life. Yeah, so then with that, so the benefit would be like, they're not playing with their grandkids because of the brain fog. Is that what's implied there?
Yeah, they're not able to function and be active enough to play with the grandkids. They're sitting on the couch instead. They don't have enough energy.
Okay. And I might change that because if you're talking to somebody who doesn't have grandkids, right, then it might not be pertinent. But I would say have the energy. Have energy to spend time with those you love. Now that can hit any age group. If you're just teaching people who have grandkids, then yeah, then I would tailor it to them. Now in the enrollment conversation, if one of their goals is like, if they say, you know, I'd really just as you're getting the vision process, this is why the process is so important to take them through to figure out what they want. If they're like, I would love to have more time with my grandkids, and I feel like I'm foggy headed and that I don't have the energy to even play with them, then one of your benefits, and you, as you're describing it, you would change that to tailor it to them. So you say, oh, so yeah, Sarah, so, you know, as my step two is limitless health. The problem, like you described, is the brain fog and the fatigue and maybe having some feelings of overweight or that chronic pain, and it's keeping you from doing what you want. You feel like you'd love to spend time with your kids, but you can't, and you feel disconnected from your family, and you feel uncertain about who you are. You feel like you're always second-guessing yourself. Like, those would be other problems to share. The solution is, we're going to discover the root causes and imbalances, and we're going to give you a strategic, individualized lifestyle plan to help you overcome those things. And when you do, you're going to have boundless energy. You're going to feel happy with your weight, and your weight's going to change. You're going to feel younger and sexier. You're going to have subtle skin, and you're going to be able to spend time with those you love so that you can have the energy with your grandkids again. The tool that we're going to go through is called Discover Your Divine Code. That sounds like a good tool. Transforming Your DNA Process and Masterpiece Recreation Blueprint, or Masterpiece Recreation Tool or Process or something like that.
I just put names down. We should probably have one process or one tool, or is there several?
You don't want everything to say tool, or process. You
right.
Want it to be kind of, you know, like having one as a code, transforming your DNA system, or transforming your DNA process, masterpiece recreation system.
Right. But should he have multiple tools for one step, or one tool
sure.
for one step?
Yeah, okay. You can do whatever the heck you want. So as you're taking, and as you take people through this, the cool thing is it doesn't have to be tied to this. Like, let's say you're taking Sarah through step number two, new beginnings. And this is a good way to promote it, especially as you start doing one-on-ones. Now, as you do more of a automated program, the blueprint becomes specific to the program. So it's like it doesn't change, right? You go through step one, you go through step two, you get all these things. However, if you're doing one-on-ones or group coaching or like mastermind stuff or retreats, you just say, here's what we can do. We're going to tailor it all to you. So if we're working together and we're in limitless health and we have to stay there for 7 out of the 7 sessions, I'm going to do that because I want you to get exactly what you need. And we're not going to go through the unnecessary steps. In the future, if you want to hit the other steps, we can roll over and do another, go through the next, the next tier up. So you can tailor this to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. So step one and two feel solid about?
Yeah. I feel better. Yeah.
Great. Is that not solid, or is that, do you feel solid about it, or is it like?
Yeah. And then how to turn this into a course is my next step, because I have to actually create a course by the end, by mid-October. If
so
I don't.
Don't think about doing a course yet. I would do this with a one-on-one. Do it with three one-on-one people. Charge $2,000 or more, and take people through 7 sessions where you're hitting 7 steps. And it's an hour to an hour and a half session over the course of 7 to 14 weeks. Make sense?
Yeah. I everything's set up to be a coach, but I haven't done any coaching.
Go sell something
and then just do it.
Sell this for $2,000, maybe give somebody a little discount on the first time, and go do this. Like, you're not going to do it until you sell it, so
yep.
Go sell it.
Okay.
Like, go get 3 people enrolled into this program.
All right, where in the material is it? Do you teach how to make courses, create courses?
That's the online training mastery. I wouldn't go through that yet, like, unless that's your focus, right? So it's like, I'm specifically telling you a couple things because based on what we've coached. Number one, I want you to sell something for like a couple grand, okay? You have the capacity to do that. You have the capability. You have the skill set. You've invested plenty in yourself. You're qualified. So why not get paid what you're worth, right? And I feel like there's some resistance around that. And you're wanting to do these automations. You're wanting to do these courses because you're tired of doing the one-on-ones. But you burnt out on the one-on-ones because you haven't systemized it like this. And it hasn't been fulfilling you like you wanted it to. So in your practice, like, how much on average do you make per hour? Because we want to make it worth your time per hour.
Like, let's say $250 an hour.
Great. So if you're doing $250 an hour and you do, let's say, 7 sessions times 300, that's 21. So just sell it for $2,000.
Right.
7 sessions for $2,000. Okay.
Yep.
And if they want to do a la carte, it's $350 a pop. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if somebody's like, oh, can I get a little sample? Sure. Yeah. It's $350 for the sample. And then if you want, you can do the whole program, but like, you can just give them a sample in the enrollment conversation. That's the whole point of it. People don't need a sample if you do a good enrollment conversation. And it's all about what they want to create and the problems. And you're like, we just identified everything. They're not going to be like, I need a sample. They're going to be like, I need your program. If you do it well. Right.
Right.
And that's all about communicating value and helping them see what they want and getting them plugged in.
Cool.
So as you do this, you have a clientele base right now that several of them would do this. You have at least 3 people out of all the people you've ever taught that would do this. I promise you. If you have at least 100 people you've worked on, you've got at least 3 that would do this. I'm sure you've worked on more than 100 people.
Thousands.
Yeah, so I guarantee out of all those people, 3 of them would want this program. You don't even need to go market to new people. You could have your own people. Like, there's people that you know right now that would do this for $2,000.
All right. I've taken enough time. Okay. Thank you very much.
So, become intentional, then the limitless health, then go through this, new beginnings, then change the name, Overcoming Addictions, or that one's fine, but change the name for the Allergic to Everything, and get this to go, like, going through the problems, like new beginnings, feeling distant, misunderstood, disconnected, wanting to escape, sex life sucks, feeling like you want more. Good. Solution, heal broken hearts, listen to understand, smile and gaze with confidence. Smile and gaze with confidence. What does that mean?
Okay, I'm sorry. You're in step number. Oh, that, okay. So, yeah, my screen split. So,
oh, sorry. Okay. You've got them labeled. You've got them labeled 1, 1, 2, 3. Your numbers are off. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You actually have 8 things here.
So yeah, I need to get down to 7. Okay. So yeah, I'm where you're at. And your question was what?
So why is it smile and gaze with confidence as a solution? Just describe that to me.
Smile and gaze with confidence. We're talking about relationships. So I'm talking about face to face, being able to smile and gaze at your partner, your with confidence. To there's no hesitation. I love you, whatever. I don't.
Yeah, so be able to see the person without any past regrets, like see them with an eye of faith.
Yeah.
see them and, who they can be.
With anticipation for being together. I don't know.
Okay, so that would be a better solution than just, because the smile with anticipation piece, or smile and gaze with confidence, that could be a process you could take them through, but I don't think that's necessarily the solution. Like, what is the solution to feeling distant, misunderstood, not having sex life, wanting more? So the solution to that is smile and gaze with confidence. That's going to solve the problem. I don't think so. So, like, if you smile and gaze with confidence, what's that going to, how is that going to solve it? What does that do to solve it?
I don't know. It sounds good to me. I don't know.
So if I sit in front of my spouse and I smile and gaze with confidence, how is that going to solve it?
Well, it's being present.
Okay, so that's the actual solution.
And what about feeling more connected?
Is that the solution? Right. Is that the solution, or is that the benefit?
That could be a benefit. That could be a benefit. But so the solution would be to be present. And you could even put in be present and feel completely connected. Or get reconnected would be the solution. Get present and reconnect. That can be part of that solution. The benefit, feel on top of the world, fall back in love, or feel newlywed. Yeah. So I would just shorten some of those phrases. Fall back in love like newlyweds. I would just say like fall back in love or feel on top of the world. Turn up the passion. So yeah, passion increased. Actually enjoy time together. So want to be together rather than dread it. So you don't even need to say that. So it's just like feel like you want to be together. Renew trust and security. That's good. Enjoy unified family ties. Experience joy again. Experience joy again is good. Then the tool, connect and relate coaching. Renew with meekness. Opening doors, ask, seek, and knock. So then I would just say like opening doors process. Beyond reciprocity and living joyful technique. Okay, make sense?
Yep.
So go through that, refine the rest of that, then shoot it over to me again and we'll make sure that's solid. The key though is, the big thing that I'm picking up here, Andy, is number one, ask yourself when you do this in a solution, why is that solving it? And make sure that's really the solution. So you don't get any of the tools as the solution mixed up. Because you could do the smile and gaze with confidence as that could be like a technique or a process, but really, why does that solve it? Oh, well, it helps them be present. So what's actually solving it is being present. The smiling helps them get present. So that's the focus, is on the actual solution. Cool?
Okay. All right.
Way to go, man.
Keep on working. Can I share this on the,
yeah.
If I were to share this on the website for feedback, is that cool?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a mastermind group. You can post it on there and get some feedback on. So it's do it on the Impact Mastermind.
Impact Mastermind. Okay, thank you.
Yep. And then just tag me. And then
okay.
Cool. And then all right, who else has a question?
I have a question. Can I just add something to Andy's there? Andy,
yeah,
the reason why Tyler's telling you to do this one-on-one before you launch a full-on online course is that you're going to end up tweaking it and fine-tuning it one-on-one. And you need to do that before you go online.
Right. Well, I do want to do one-on-one coaching. Yeah, that's the initial goal.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good. Cool. Who else had a question?
I have a question, Tyler. There's just two aspects that I have. One is I'm doing an online cat training to.
By the way, did you you just did your first CAT training this Saturday, right?
Yes, it was so awesome, and that's my.
Everybody, give Lori K a big woohoo!
I was so proud
of
myself.
Woohoo!
My feedback. I had my people. I had a form for them to fill out, and I said, "Hey." It says, aha statements. Did you learn something new or a new way of looking at things? And I had three things that they were to write out. And then I had testimonials about the experience. How will you apply this knowledge? You know, how will it benefit your life? How was your experience during class? Did Lori K explain things clearly? You know, and constructive feedback. And so, anyway, I had them fill that out for me. And, but yeah, no, they said that I was fun to watch teach and that I learned tons of new things, and this one lady said your body language was flowing and just beautiful to watch. And anyway, I was just, it was so good. And the challenge, though, I couldn't sleep that night. And then the next night, my brain was still racing about what I was going to be doing on Tuesday and all the things that weren't resolved. And so I've had three nights of not sleeping. Because of the amped up adrenaline is what I think it was. And so how do you decompress after doing something?
Yeah, good question. Well, there's a couple ways. One is you could just keep scheduling yourself to just face burnout and you force your body just to relax. That's one way. Just keep doing it over and over and over, and then you're like, maybe this is dumb that I amp up so much energy and that you'll learn. But that's kind of the repetitive do it grit method, which works, but does cause a little bit more trauma. But it does work. The other method is, so after I do an event, I'm usually jazzed for like the next. This is how my body works. I'll do a 4-day event. On Sunday, feel really great. Monday, I'm like on fire. Tuesday, I'm like, that's usually what it's like. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need a break. So I know how my body works. So then it's like, okay. So I'll get a lot done still on Monday. And then usually I'll schedule out like bath time. I have to do feminine. I tend to go more masculine when I'm teaching now. It didn't used to be that way. But I'm like, boom, and like trying to, you know, do a lot more energy. So I take time for myself through taking Epsom salt baths. Connecting to nature really helps me. Like going out and getting my feet just grounded on the earth and doing things like that. And then also like doing some physical exercise, because I've got a lot of like adrenaline going. So you want to use that adrenaline, just burn it off. And you can do that through working out. Also baths will help just calm things, listen to some chill music. Sometimes I like to do a big cry afterwards, especially if it's like a big event, and I turn on some really sad music or like emotional music, and I'll just lay down and I'll just cry and like just let it out, because I have emotions that are all pent up from doing stuff. Sometimes I have to yell, sometimes I have to cry. It just depends. Every time I do it, it's different depending on how I feel and the audience and what I teach. So those are some of the methods, though, is just like, okay, do I need to cry? Do I need to yell? Do I need to go? Because sometimes it might be a letdown energy. Like, oh, it didn't happen like I wanted it. So then I need to go yell or let it out and then cry or something. Then I'm like, cool, back on my game. And then I go do it as if nothing happened. Other times I like over-delivered, had turned out way better than I expected, like so much is like boom, amazing. So then I'm like on cloud nine, and then I need to like, okay, connect to earth, take a bath, show gratitude, just reconnect, calm myself a little bit, so I'm not like blah, 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 like going 90 miles an hour, and take some time out for myself. Sometimes I'll play a game. Like for me, I like to play a game. Sometimes I'll watch a movie, something like that, to just get my mind off of what I was doing and to put it onto something else. And so I will strategically watch a movie sometimes, or like play a video game. And then not to be addicted to it, because I choose to say, okay, I'm going to put my mind on this just to decompress for a moment. Then I can go back, then I'll like have a nice solid prayer, maybe take a bath, and just take care of myself that way.
Right, right.
So those are good ways.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was physically tired, and I invited one of the friends. She came from Utah to come be part of my class. And she even had lost her job and still paid me $100. And she's a single mom. And
there
she's
you
like,
go.
You know, so she was, it was just like, I will pay you because she has seen me teach in her mind. She's like, you're going to be doing this someday, and I'm going to be there first day. You know, so anyway, I had her stay and visit with me for an extra 3 hours afterwards, and I continued teaching her other things. And so it's like, I basically went from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. So,
So number one, so there's a couple things. Way to go doing your thing. But you also have to give people what they paid for, okay? So
right.
If somebody paid you for that service, you don't need to over-deliver. And one of your biggest things is going to be to stop.
Okay.
Yeah. That's going to be the best thing to stop you from burnout, because if you're like, oh, this person flew out, like, who cares? Like, I literally had someone fly out for my one-day event. They thought it was the four-day. They were mistaken. They didn't read the emails. And I was just like, cool, well, thanks for coming, and it'll be awesome. And we did a one-day event, and it was awesome. And I didn't stay to, like, do anything else. And she had paid $500. So it doesn't – you don't need to take
truly,
on other people's
that
stuff.
That is what I do. That's my biggest problem, is I overgive and I overdo. Thank you.
So my test would be for you, under-deliver.
No, I can't do
after
that.
Someone's paid. Seriously. Like, under-deliver after someone's paid. And that would actually be a really good test for you to go through.
Oh, that seems impossible. In fact, Tyler, I added at least 6 different things to the training. Just because...
Yeah, which is probably not beneficial. Less is more.
Okay, thank you. I will sit with that, and I will imagine that and all the uncomfortableness that brings up in my body, because that brings up in a ton of uncomfortableness.
Yeah. Good. That's the next piece for you. So I know now what your next simulation will be.
That would be horrible. Oh my gosh, that would be so horrible. Okay. So now my second question.
I would love for you to go get some people paid and only deliver what you told them that you're going to give them, and that's it. And if they're like, oh, I need more, then you charge them for it and say, great, if you want more, you pay me more.
That just goes against every grain of my being.
But that's actually ethics. Like, if everybody did that, the economy would be depleted and everyone would go into a depression. You can't run an economy that way. Like, it's impossible. So if, like, everybody bought something and you gave them more and more and more and you worked extra hard for it, and everybody did that over and over and over, to the point of like exhausting themselves and giving more than they could do, then everybody would run out of their own stuff. It's just not intelligent. You can't run an actual economy that way. So if an economy can't be run that way, you are your own walking economy. So if you're over giving and over delivering, it's good to over deliver in a positive way. Like, I over-deliver. When people sign up for me, I over-deliver. I give them more than what they signed up for. But not at my personal expense. Not at my physical expense. I teach with more passion. I expect more from them. And sometimes I'll give them like access to some extra courses or something because I want to just gift them more stuff. But it's not like me sitting there for another 10 hours saying, hey, thanks for paying me that $100. You know, because I don't feel good enough about myself and I don't trust you, I'm going to sit here and keep delivering over and over and over to make sure you get everything you need so that I don't take on your responsibility of your failures, which is what I'm doing anyway right now by over delivering and sitting here for the next 8 hours.
Yeah.
So you got to trust the people. Like for somebody to sacrifice and fly down, pay you money, that in and of itself is a huge lesson for them. So like, why rob them of the experience by just taking so much more time? And I get it. And sometimes there's a time and place for everything, but it's the philosophy of it that I want you to get. Like, think of it as a missionary. You're used to like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and missionaries, right? So mm-hmm. The worst thing a missionary can do is spend too long with a person. Why?
Well, their brain just gets burnt out. It's just too much.
And why else?
Well, they're not reaching out to somebody else.
Okay.
They're not
why
supposed
else?
To decompress. They have to work for a certain number of hours straight.
Who does?
Well, the missionaries, you know, they're supposed to be up at 6 in the morning and they have their schedule and they go till 9 at night and they're supposed to be doing until during those 6 to 9.
Yeah, but what if they're talking with, you know, and sitting there for 3 hours teaching somebody and it's like amazing. They feel the spirit and they're like, oh, I just felt like I needed to teach this and this and this. Why would that be not wise?
Well,
they're
the
still
person
using
needs
their
to,
time to teaching.
They need to, the other person needs time to process the information. And it wasn't like I was just teaching. I mean, she's my friend. You know, it wasn't that I was just
teaching.
And
I get it. And I get it. And if she's come down and visiting, that's different. But knowing you, I just want to talk about this because mm-hmm. this is something that'll probably happen over and over and over. And I want to help you so that this doesn't happen over and over and over. I'm not saying this
is the case.
No,
and I appreciate that because there's going to be another person traveling 2 hours for my next class.
Yep.
And I already said, oh, I need to get my husband from the airport, but if you want to drive with me so we can continue so you can stay after, you know, I've already said that to her because I'm just like,
That feels very needy. That's like you needing them more than they need you.
She's one that has asked me tons of questions. I was doing it from a place because I thought she would need it is where I was coming from.
Of course. And that's because you feel like you need her more than she needs you. Because if you truly believe that she needed you more than you needed her, you'd have her pay extra to get your time.
Mm. Okay.
Otherwise, you need her more than she needs you.
Okay.
So going back to this missionary experience, why though? I want you to answer this question. Why is it unwise for somebody as a missionary to sit for 3 hours or 2 hours to somebody and teach?
Well, I think that person can only handle so much new input. You know, the person they're teaching.
Good. Even if it feels good, right? And they're like jazzed.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen if they stay 2 hours with them?
They're not going to... Well, from a missionary point, they're not going to want to spend more time the next time because they'll be like, oh, that's too big of a chunk of time. I don't have time for that.
Or the opposite's true. What are they going to expect?
They'll expect that much time the next time.
And then the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time. And what have you taught them? You've taught them to be addicted to the people, not what you're teaching.
Right.
So then when those missionaries leave and new missionaries come, what's going to happen?
Well, they'll be depressed because they're so attached to the person, they don't continue on with the lessons.
Yeah, because it was the person, not the teaching. So they actually did them a disservice
mm-hmm.
by teaching too much. So I know it's a little different thinking about like missionaries and gospel stuff, but here's how it is. Like, and I get jazzed by this because I saw it so much, is like, if you truly want to serve somebody in the mission field, you go and teach like a 45-minute lesson, and then you leave so that the Spirit can teach them and they can learn from their own experiences. Get out of their way. If you yeah. keep talking and analyzing and delivering more, it's all about you and not about them. Like, I want people, after they're done teaching, I want them to go apply it and go do it and get their own experience with it. And I know if I take too much time with them, I'm robbing them of that experience, because I'm pushing on them my own will, and I'm pushing on them more of what I think I know. I want them to come up with what they know. I want them to come to their own knowing. And they can only do that if I give them the space. They are hungry for more. Everybody I always teach, they always want me to stay longer. And by not staying longer, it gives them the hunger and gives them the desire to actually do stuff.
Right. No, that makes sense. You said something that I have another question. What's the least
amount
of time?
What part of that makes sense?
Oh, a lot of it makes sense. The biggest part is getting out of their way so that the Spirit can be teaching them.
Right.
And then the question that I had is, what's the least amount of time that you should give someone to journal about something that can allow them to have that experience? Is 5 minutes the least amount of time, or does it always have to be bigger than that?
No. You could do literally like 3 minutes.
3 minutes is okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if I'm doing a one-hour presentation, I'll have somebody jot something down for, like, 1 to 2 to 3 minutes. I've done even 1 minute. I'm like, all right, hey, everybody pull out your paper and pad. Everybody got it? Raise your hand if you don't have a piece of paper. Raise your hand if you do have a piece of paper. Okay, cool. So I'm just going to give you 1 minute for the sake of time. I just want you to write down, like, 3 bullet points. Because the process is, the whole point of the writing experience is to get them out of thinking into doing. And you actually tap into a different part of your brain when you're writing. So it's a full body experience when they're learning, and that's what I want. I want them to, like, going from listening to using their own intelligence to write, and then they can share that own intelligence, which will expand after they share it. So it's like one after the other, and it just builds and builds and builds. Writing experiences are phenomenal for groups when you're teaching. So it's always that, and there's a system to it to really help people. It's have them write down, then have them group share or partner share. So it's like, okay, write down what you want. Everybody's done. Cool. Turn to the person next to you. Share them with something you just shared just right now. What that does, it merges the people. So right now they're all self.
I forgot to do that. I left out the partner share. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's okay.
Okay.
All right.
No,
you don't have to do all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you do write. Then you have them partner share, which that mm-hmm. merges each person's individual energy and insights to get it into a bigger, like, now we're two people who are connected. Then, after the partner share, you could do a group share, which merges all the people together, energetically, emotionally. It's awesome. So then everybody can kind of move in the same momentum. So it's like,
right.
Okay, write down what you want. Boom. Turn to the person next to you. Share with them for 1 minute. Cool. Stop. Give them a high five. Say thanks for sharing. Great. Let's get a couple group shares. Who would like to share? And then you get a couple people to share, and all of a sudden you fill the room like uniting. It's just this unity. And that helps in when you're making an offer, helps when you're telling people what they need to do, helps through. So it's so powerful, that process.
Yeah. No, and that was one of the things that my ladies gave feedback. They're like, we needed to stand up and move more, and they could stand up during the partner share. You know, they don't have to share to the person next to them.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And so that would solve that problem of needing more movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Great.
Yeah, way to go.
Yay. Now, for this online class, though, I don't know how to share, I don't know how to upsell online, for one, and how to share my feedback form, because I want their feedback, too, because I can email the feedback form to them, you know, but, and I don't know if I could do some sort of Google form for feedback, or, and I certainly don't know how to give them a visual of my, the different things I'm offering, which, oh, there's a lot of noise.
And I
emailed
Sorry.
You.
I'm going to go back in.
Okay. And I emailed you the form that I sent out, which will probably say you're offering way too many things, but anyway.
Yeah, I saw that. So let's go over that real quick. So you've got your, what is this form for? This is for the online people?
This is for the online people to upsell to or to get their feedback about their experience.
So which one do you want to do? Do you want to upsell or get feedback?
I want both. I think it's appropriate to do both.
Great. So I suggest upsell, because that's the feedback. If they buy, you did good.
Well, I want their written words that I can use for other people to say, hey, people have said da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, yeah, you can get a testimonial, but I wouldn't get feedback. I would get a testimonial and an upsell.
Okay.
Trust me on that. I used to try to get feedback from people. Imagine this. So I would have people come to my class when I first started, and I had a form that had all this feedback. What went well? What do you think I could improve? Blah, 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 blah. And I had all this stuff for, like, this feedback. And what I got were a bunch of people who had not been trained as a speaker, who had not been trained on how to sell, who had not been trained giving me advice on what to do. And I took it very personal.
Okay.
And I was like, why am I taking their advice? They don't know. They haven't paid what I've paid. They haven't been through what I've done. It's like a doctor coming through and saying, great, what did you like about this? What did you didn't like about this? Well,
okay.
If you give them the opportunity to share what they don't like, they're going to find something that they don't like. Or you could just focus on the experience and then get them what they need and sell them the stuff. And then if they keep coming back, that's a good indicator that they like it.
Right, right. Okay. Well, and on my paper, I just listed, you know, I wanted to hear their aha statements. And then the testimonial, but verbally I said, hey, if you have some constructive feedback, da 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 da. But I won't add that part. But these were all my friends, so yeah.
Yeah, I still wouldn't do that. Friends are the best at telling you what to do.
Thank you.
And I always look at my friend and say, thanks for sharing. And then I don't take it for anything. I'm like, all right, yeah, thanks for sharing. That's awesome. And I get back on with my life. Like, I get feedback all the time. There's so many things that I could improve. But it's not my main focus, because if I focused on everything what people think I should improve, then I'd never create anything new. And I'd always be focused on, like, perfectionism, and, like, it takes me away from my vision. And I got so caught up in that for years, I had to, like, get rid of that, because it was consuming my life of trying to get better and better. And I was like, the best way for me to get better is
my life. I spent probably 8 to 10 hours a day perfecting everything. It was very excessive.
Yeah. So that's not beneficial, because you could be spending that time going in and enrolling your next 10 clients.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's
okay.
That's all right.
So looking at this transformational freedom package, you've got valued at $550, only $333 for three learning experiences. What does three learning experience mean?
But you told me not to say sessions. So.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Don't sell individual sessions as a session. So, like, what are you selling there? What are you doing in those learning experiences?
Well, I'm teaching them different things. You know, it's not, that is written somewhere else. Ouch. It's on another thing that I didn't send over to you.
That's the blueprint, right?
So I have that. I didn't send that over to you. I should have done that. But
okay,
yeah,
I would say three one-on-ones, 75 minutes each.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot better than learning experiences. I wouldn't pay for a learning experience. I'd pay one-on-one with somebody that I wanted a one-on-one with.
Okay.
Right. So three one-on-one sessions. You could do that. Three one-on-one sessions, 75 minutes each. Kundalini online program, 150. One emergency support session, 30. What's that?
That's just sending Reiki for like 5-10 minutes. Well, 15 minutes. So I don't
like
know if
like a distant.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like they're falling apart, not doing well, and I, you know, they can contact me anytime, and I'll stop what I'm doing and.
Okay, so then I might even call it like one on-demand, distant session. For some reason, emergency support sounds like desperation of like, it's kind of like a very needy feel. So I'd just be like one on-demand, distant session or something like that.
Okay.
Brain balancing meditation, and when you're sharing about it, you can amp it up and share how it's cool. Okay. Brain balancing meditation tool. All right. So just how this is phrased, you need it to be okay. So look at how you do this. So transformational freedom package valued at $530. So then I would say special instead of only. So I'd say special, okay. 333 or one time special.
Okay.
33, and then here's what's included. Three learning, not three learning, but whatever we just said, right? So then these three experiences, 75 minutes each, and then a Kundalini online program valued at 150, one, whatever we said, valued at, I would put the value on there more than $30.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that's like really valuable on demand. That should be like several hundred bucks. Brain balancing meditation value. And be sure you put the value in the parentheses. With
yeah, I just noticed that. Yeah.
On both. On so emergency support, put the value in the parentheses and amp up the value. Then have the parentheses on the brain balancing value. Amp that up too. That should be worth more than that. And then help with the CAT statements or MT. So then I would say like CAT crafting session or MT session valued at like 100 plus. Like you need to value this more. Like helping with the CAT session statements and stuff, that's really valuable. Like what's the value on helping someone come up with the exact statement they need that gets them the result?
Right, right. Yeah, I was just figuring it would be a 20-minute thing. And my problem, I'm so fine with being paid $1 a minute. That's, anyway.
Yeah, but that's not the value. That's what you're actually going to get. So there's a difference between the value and what you're asking for.
Okay, yeah.
So what you ask for, if you're going to do pricing, here's how you think of it. Okay, so let's say the value is the potential that it could be. So I take my best paying client. So let's say, even just working with Yana, she was on here, right? You still on here, Yana? Mm-hmm. She might be off.
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Oh. So yes, for you to help, so how valuable was just this past weekend helping you craft a sale and teaching you how to sell?
Oh, it was a lifetime skill that I'm going to use over and over and over for decades.
Yeah, but even just in one day, so you made how much?
Yes. I made 12,000. Like over
12 grand. So for Yana in one day, everything we taught was worth 12 grand. That's an actual value. But now to say, what if she did that every other week and then amp that up tenfold? Like it's the value on that is like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Right? So if I know I'm getting a value for someone, like let's say Bob, when I helped him do his sales and taught him how to sell, he was able to sell. He did an offer for $20,000 and got like four or five people who were interested, right? So out of that, like even though it was a one-time boom, he can do that over and over and over, and it's going to get better and better and better. So for him, it's like valued at like over $100,000 per event. The potential is way more than that. So to see like that's the value, what I actually charge is not hundreds of thousands of dollars. However, it would still be worth it for someone to pay that because they're going to get it back, right? However, yes. So you put the value and then you say, whatever I value it at, let's say I value it at $100,000, I'm going to sell it at 10. I want it to be 10 times value, and then I sell it for 10 times less so that they get 10x the value. So if I say, wow, if I'm doing the CAT and I did a CAT on somebody and I helped a guy generate $30,000 in 2 weeks, the value just in 2 weeks for him was $30,000. It would have been worth it to him to pay me that because guess what? He's doing that over and over and over and over. Make sense? However, mm-hmm. instead of charging $30,000 to learn the CAT, I could charge $3,000 and it would still be worth it. Same
no,
with,
thank you.
I don't even have to use money. I could say, great, cardiac arrest. I could ask, how much money have you spent on that? And he literally spent like tens of thousands of dollars to try to get his cardiac arrest symptoms gone. And I was like, oh, cool. So the value on eliminating those symptoms was like $10,000. So I could teach him for $1,000 and it would still be super worth it. It's like a no-brainer. Make sense? So when you're looking at value, that's how you got to see it is like, what's the biggest value out there that it could be worth? Based on your clients or previous people or whatever, and then set that as the value, and then to drop it down 10 times to say, this is what I'll actually sell it at. That's one way of doing it. Sometimes I go in between that number, like it's not always 10 times, sometimes it's 5 or 3 or whatever. And sometimes it's 20. Like people I've taught who've made multiple six figures and I've only charged them like $30,000. I was like, wow, that's a great deal. Who's getting the better end of the deal? They are.
Right.
Like I'm just charging 10, 15, 30, and who's getting the better deal? They are.
No, thank you. Right? Yeah, no, I will fix that. Yeah. Now, what do you think about me having other options of smaller amounts that people can purchase and not the program to distract them? I look at it as to help them, but I can see that it could be a distraction.
I wouldn't put those on there at all. No, don't sell them all individual. So I would just say, because it's such a small offer, it's only $333. I would do a 3-month payment plan or a paid in full. So I'd say, okay, cool. And have that be your option. And if somebody asks, like, let them ask, like, oh, do you do any, if I just wanted this, what would it be? Be like, cool, we'll have a conversation and I'll share that with you.
Okay, awesome.
But just sell one thing for them at this stage until you get good at the sales. Then you can add in multiple things. So Transformational Freedom Package, only $333, or 3 months of $150.
Okay. And then how would I...
Or you could do 125 even.
Yeah. Okay.
But don't do it to where it's like 111. You always make them pay more for a monthly payment plan.
Okay. No, that's fine.
So it's like 125 for 3 months or 333 paid in full.
So do I lead them to a conversation or how do you do that online?
I'll just have them do it right there. Like, it's a small enough sale.
Mm-hmm.
Anything less than $500, just offer it.
Okay.
On the online, that's easy. Especially if they've been with you all day, like.
Yeah. Well, these online people, I'm going to be teaching in 2-hour chunks. This is the people online. So.
Okay. And you're going to do it multiple days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I see.
But.
Yeah. So.
I'm not sure how to even have them give me a credit card.
Yeah, do you have PayPal?
I do have PayPal. So I would just give them the information through PayPal that they would do. Okay.
Just go on to PayPal and you can create a link for 333. And then you can get that. Or you can create a payment plan for 125.
Okay.
Through PayPal.
So basically, I do not need to have this printed out to them. Just having it in my PowerPoint where they can see it is good enough.
So on your last, how many classes are you doing for 2-hour chunks?
And honestly, I don't know until I do my first one. I'm hoping 3 classes, so it's still the 6 hours.
Perfect. So let's say it's 3 classes. On your third class, you're going to do your offer, the last, 20 minutes of the class, okay? So then in that, you're going to start your offer and you're just going to get everybody enrolled. How many people have really loved learning the CAT? And what if you could actually transform your life and go from a place, so you got to hit the problems. So it's make sure the problems are mapped out, that they're different from what you taught on, okay?
Right.
Because if you taught people how to align, what's the next problems that they're going to face? Those are the things you're going to sell them. So make sure that's really solid. So then here's the problem. Here's the solution that I created. It's called the Transformational Freedom Package. And what this package does is it helps you overcome the problem. You're going to talk about the solutions, right? Then you can go into the details and be like, so the value on this whole thing is well over 530. I would put that up, amp that value up. So that's got to be a 1,000, 2,000 plus value based on all the stuff that you're doing, okay? The value is what it's at. If it's valued at $2,000, then you could sell it anywhere from $300 to $500.
Yeah.
Okay. So really get that value up there and see how it is that valuable by changing those values. Because from what this looks like, it looks like everything that you're – first glance at this is that sucks. I wouldn't buy that. Because of how low the values are on this. An emergency support session, $30. Help with the session, $20. Why would I want an expert who doesn't value themselves?
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
But don't let that, because people won't buy from you if it's this. You might have one of the desperate people do it. But then they're going to be the worst people to work with because they're going to want you to overgive and overdeliver. And if that's the lifestyle you want to set up, then go for it till you get burnt out. And then you're like, wow, I guess Tyler was right. Maybe I should have listened in the first place. You can come to your own knowledge on that. Took me a while to figure that out. Or you can just decide, do it the easier way. Amp up your prices. People, it's easy. It's just as easy to sell a $10,000 program as it is to sell a $1,000. It's just as easy to sell a $1,000 as it is to sell a $100.
Okay.
So you might as well amp it up and make it worth your while.
Yeah. Okay. No, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Yes. Well,
so,
and
yeah,
I do with
get rid of all the extra stuff and then give them a super special. Door closes that day. On this one, you could be like, cool. So if you need to talk tomorrow, cool. Gates closed. It's $2,000.
Okay.
If you want to talk and think and ponder, or give them a 24-hour window or a 12-hour window and be like, cool. So to lock in this price, it's, you have 12 hours to decide. Those of you who decide now, here's your fast action bonus. Boom. And then if you want to wait 24 hours, it's going to be $19.97. And if you're like, oh, I really want to do this, great. It's $19.97 tomorrow. That's just how it works. And why? Because I want to give you this as a fast action bonus, because there's power when you do that. When you make a decision and you move forward, you get momentum, and it's part of a transformation in and of itself. We want to make sure it's all clear, that it's wise, and it's a good decision. And cool, you can. That's why we're here. Let's ask any questions. What do you need to know in order to make a decision today? Cool. Yeah. Here's how you're going to do it. Here's the link. Here's the PayPal link. Here's how you'll do it. Click on the link. You'll send me the money. As soon as I get the money, then you'll get I'll get you access to everything through your email or whatever. We'll set up a call, introductory call, and we'll get you plugged in. And map it out of like how it's going to work. And it'll be super awesome and paint them the vision of like, wow, it's going to be epic. Right?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Cool, cool. Yep. All right. Who else?
Tyler, I have something.
Yeah.
All right. So I am in the process of writing my book about my son's suicide and the journey through that. And every person that I'm coming in contact with who has written a book or helps people write books is always talking about writing the book such that you can then turn it into a course, kind of like your book that you did, actually exactly mm-hmm. like your book. And perfect. Yet it can feel a little bit off or weird or because I'm writing about my son's suicide. Yeah. I do have some ideas that I pulled from the book, but could you kind of talk me through this? I mean, I'm not even sure I want to create a course. I don't know.
So what's the question?
The question is, what do you think of that idea to create a course for my book? And if so, how do I do this considering the topic?
Yeah, so what would you, so a course from a book is awesome. Like the thing is like, what's valuable? What are people hungry for? What are they wanting?
Okay. In this situation, yeah. I think it would be being able to overcome the grief and move forward.
Yeah. You know how much people spend on therapy after like stuff happens?
I'm starting to learn based on my family.
You know how much people spend on booze and drugs after things happen like that?
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know how much time is wasted?
Oh, yeah, I know that.
In false grief? Like, and you know how much stuff they could have created with that time?
Okay.
Like you could take them through such a powerful experience of like, hey, if you've been through something tough, and these would be things that you'd want to diffuse and talk about. And as a, like a promotion to say, you know, some people ask, why would I pay to go through a course to help me cope through a death? And then you could say, well, here's some of the reasons. Here's what people have said, or here's what I've seen is, you know, we've had people who have spent thousands of dollars on booze and drugs and they get addicted. And then now they've ruined their life. We've had other people that have turned away from their family, lost their marriage, went through a divorce, which cost this. Also lost their other kids that cost them so much more than just not just money, but every relationship in their life.
Okay, I see.
Also, they're vegging out on TV when they could be going and helping and serving and finding a better mission and finding a purpose in life. So what's it worth to you? Like, would you pay to be able to not have to go through that? People pay it anyway, down the road through all the pain. So why not actively change so that you don't have to pay it in the future? You can pay it forward and then create a better future. So I created this course. It's an online course to help you actually find back, to help you first off grieve with purpose. Secondly, after you grieve with purpose, so you could have it set up like that, like a whole grieving process in the first couple pieces. And then, great, after you're done with your grieving process, then we're going to start to create a new life and to find a life with purpose and passion. And then we're going to do this. And you can have it into like three segments, like grieve, plan, and live with purpose. And you could do a cool course on that.
Okay. I appreciate that because now I can see what you're saying because, you know, based on things that have happened in my past and just wasting time going down a black hole because I didn't know other ways to cope with the loss. And
yeah.
I can see how that would be really valuable.
Cool. So do you see how, like, does that answer your question on the course piece?
Yes, not only on the course piece, but also bringing true value and not feeling like, oh, let me capitalize on this sad thing, but actually bringing value to people who need help.
Yeah, and the cool thing when you're comparing value, it's really just a logical process. Like, people get it when you logically break it down, and you don't have to convince people. You just describe, you know, hey, I just want to share with you some things to be aware of, because in the moment, it's easy to feel like, oh, someone could capitalize on this, or like, why would someone want to pay for this? And here's why. Because I would rather you pay now instead of spending the next 20 years paying it time and time again. And here's what happens. And then paint the scenarios. Like, if someone really struggles, like, you could go through the alcohol one, the addiction one, the divorce scenario, this scenario, and then talk about how much it costs financially, emotionally, spiritually, and to say, what if you could take the 10, 20 years that some people take, drop it down, and be able to solve it within 3 months? Would that be worth investing your time, money, and energy into? Like, where we put our time and money shows what we value. And for me, I could have chose to go through 10 years of therapy. I could have chose to spend tens of thousands of dollars coping in ways that didn't work. I could have chose to veg out, which would have cost me in my business, which would have cost me with my other family that's alive today. Like, this is a real thing. So instead of avoiding it like we tend to do after someone is lost, we try to avoid it. My job here is to help you confront this. And in order to do so, you must confront it with your energy, with your time, and with your money. And by doing so, you're going to save time, you're going to save energy, and you're going to save money. This will be one of the best investments that you could ever make, because it'll teach you how, instead of having to suffer for the next 20, 30, 40 years, bring down that process into 1-2 months, get back your life, and start living with purpose.
Okay.
What a powerful message.
I learned a statistic from someone whose daughter died by suicide 4 years ago, and she so told me that statistically speaking, 95% of marriages where there's a lost child, suicide or death or whatever, they end up divorced. 95%. That's crazy.
That would be a great thing to share. And then talk about the cost of a marriage ending. Financially, emotionally, spiritually, the effect on your other kids. Like, to talk about that. Like, and this is the insanity. Like, think about it. So a kid dies. So then now parents are going to feel fully responsible. We're going to go down a deep spiral of depression, doom, and gloom. We're going to then victimize ourselves. And instead of supporting our kids, we're going to get a divorce. And we're going to then ruin our kids' lives who are alive. So not only did the one who took his life feel ruined, but now I'm going to ruin everybody else's life too. What a great solution. That's called insanity. So, like, you could totally teach to get out of this insane cycle that so many people go through. Like, that is insane.
Right. It doesn't make logical sense, but people are so wrapped up emotionally.
Yeah. And if you could help people get out of that, oh my goodness.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. All right. And who else? So what other questions do you guys have?
I have a simple one. This is Yana.
Yep. Hey, Yana.
Hey, I really enjoyed the calls today, and that last segment there was really, really beautiful, and what a powerful tool to be able to help people that are hurting. I just wanted to give a little encouragement there. What a beautiful gift to people. For myself, I think I'll create a video to help sell and to help communicate, actually, which will help the sell, in a audiovisual way for the programs that I'm selling. And let me just ask a question here. In my, I'm selling a week-long Hebrew school where people will be able to read biblical Hebrew, sing in Hebrew, sing scriptures, and to pray in Hebrew. So I'm doing that in 5 days. And so it just dawned on me this morning during the call that there are people who already know Hebrew. So I am going to offer the Hebrew one school. I'm going to call it Quantum Hebrew because it kind of is 5 days and to accomplish all that, which can be easily done, actually. But in the morning, and then offer a Hebrew 2 class for those who already know Hebrew in the afternoon. So when I create a video, I don't want to overwhelm people with too much, but I'd also like to offer, after you learn Hebrew, we are also offering a tour to Israel where you can actually use your Hebrew and, you know, some things tailored around the actual speaking, singing, praying in Hebrew in the land of Israel. Is that too much to put in a video? Is that too much to put in a video?
what's the video? Where's the video going to be put?
Every place I speak, and I'm speaking, all my conferences thus far have been pretty small venues. I'll have access to a few larger ones, but most of my venues are pretty small.
Okay. So when are they going to see this video? Like, is it before you speak? Is it during your speech? Is it like, what is the purpose of this video?
We start on Friday night. I don't mention anything Friday night. I just teach and share and engage with the people. I have a dinner with them, mm-hmm. some personal conversations. Saturday, just before lunch, I'm following your protocol that you gave me last week. Saturday before lunch is when I would play the video, and then I would spend my lunchtime back at the table engaging with the people and as they choose my program.
Okay, so the purpose of the video, what is it?
The purpose of the video is to effectively communicate because they've been listening to me teach, and so there's a little bit of, you know, the psychology behind that, you know, a lot of me. But the video is some graphics, just another level of communication to the people visually. And saying things there, have a different set of clothes on. It's just all those sort of communication styles to give them sort of the clarity that they're looking for, and okay. to help build the desire to say, I see it, I can do it.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that would be, so I love using video, and you just got to use it with purpose. So in that video, you're wanting to promote what again? Say it again.
Hebrew school, Quantum Hebrew 1. In 5 days, being able to sing, pray, and read Hebrew.
Yeah. So ideally, what that would be is you sharing and then some testimonials, like boom, 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 boom. From people who have experienced something similar, if this is your first time running it. So it'd be like, you know, hey, here's this thing, and then it's like a flash of, here's why it's so cool, here's the result I got, and I love this, and I love that, you know, and when you do your 5-day retreat or 4-day retreat, hire a videographer to get footage from it and get testimonials from everybody. And that'll become that video. That'll be like primo for that. So as to your question, so you didn't do that and then share that, oh, if you've already known, or if you already know it, then there's also this other class. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. In other words, I just sort of, it just expanded. Like in the mornings, I was going to, I teach the Hebrew one, but then I gave them the afternoon off and then they have speakers at night. But for those who already know Hebrew, they're saying, well, I already know it. That's not for me. Then I could offer the Hebrew too in the afternoons, give them the morning off.
Oh, at the retreat?
Yes, at the retreat. So I'm enlarging my audience, like, or my participation.
So you're hitting it for people who do know it and who don't.
Exactly.
I see.
Enlarging
and if,
my
audience. If you feel like you could effectively do that, then be like, cool, here's the... So there's two options for this retreat. And then there, you just say, you know, there's two ways how this retreat is for. Number one, for people who don't know and would like to learn it really fast. And number two, for people who do know and want to, what's the result for them?
Improve on their skills and actually do like studies in the classroom. Like they would take certain verses and we would take it through the process
this could be really cool. Perfect. So you could do advanced, and you could also make this to be like one of the best ways as a professional that I have mastered Hebrew, like how many want to master it, is to teach it. So actually part of your curriculum is you're going to be helping all the new people to master it in the 5 days. And then in the afternoons or whatever, you're going to take it to the next level of mastery while the new people are off. You could totally like incorporate some of those pieces of like have that dynamic where it's like, cool, if you already know it, we're going to come learn all the advanced stuff and be able to help teach some of the basics. You could do that, which in my opinion is a really great way to help people master stuff. And then for the new people, they come, they learn all the basics, and then they're off during the intense parts for the advanced people.
Yep.
And that way you could have a bounce back for people who have already attended, and you could give them, because they're going to come and learn and to help teach. So you could give a simple bounce back price of like half off since they've already came once. And at the event, you can be like, hey, if you want to come again and come with the advance, because that'll be a simple upsell, you could do this. If you want to get it as a free thing, then you could do the big course and get this free.
Great. Yep. Okay. Okay.
Does that kind of help?
That's great. And is it in my selling, because I'm sort of, I'm very creative, so I've got so many ideas in my head, but I am being very intentional about what I sell.
Yeah.
So I want to sell not just my Hebrew course. I also want to sell my tours to Israel. And I've got a lot of those, but I've created a different type now of tour to Israel. So is it smart to sell two high-end products together?
You can. Yeah, I do. I actually do two or three.
Okay.
So today, I think we're going to go over some of your stuff today, right? Here in like an hour. So I think I'll hit that with you personally it just takes a little bit more time to map out. And I just wanted to see if you could nail it your first round, which you did. So then now I'll share the next step.
Okay. And our call is at what time? I'm sorry. Is it at 10?
Yeah, it's in like 1 hour. So 9 o'clock my time.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Cool. Any other questions anybody have? Okay. So if everybody got what you needed, quick reminder, next month, the Connect event is the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. As part of the mastermind, every single one of you has 4 tickets. So yourself, and then you have guest tickets, and you can totally bring people. So even if you can't come, but you have people you'd like to gift to, you can do that. Those tickets run at $1,000 a pop. So like you could use it strategically to help some of your own clients. If you have a fellow business owners or people that you know would help get this information and become a better coach, be a better speaker, package how they're doing, what they're doing, and how to sell more with more impact, then this is going to be a great event to come to. We have amped it up. We're going to be teaching some new things there. So it's going to be really awesome. So the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th in October, we'll be having, you should be having some emails on it. We'll also have my assistant reach out and make sure you guys know how to use the links, and if you're RSVP'd or if you can't make it, that way you can make the next one. So you'll be getting a call this week from her, so just know that. So you're like, who is this person? Or a text. Answer it. That way we can make sure you're solid, whether for this one or the next one, and we can get your guests access as well. Cool. All right. So with that, thanks, guys, for everything you're doing. I'm excited to hear about all these successes. Way to go on everybody who did their presentations. This sounds like this past week was like a presenting feast. So way to go. Way to rock it out. And congrats on everybody's successes. And keep moving forward with that eye of faith, being able to focus on what you want, embracing it, and create it. Expect success. Demand success. And if it doesn't happen how you want it, keep maintaining the expectation, right? Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have an awesome
day. Thank you.